This is Austin St. John, Jason, the original Red Ranger, and you are listening to the Nerdcast.
It's the Nerdcast, episode 110, featuring Adam, Aaron, Iggy, Tyler. Hello.
That was a good one.
No, I'm gonna give that a six, maybe a six and a half, as far as intros go.
Out of a scale of seven, okay, I'm cool with that.
Out of 10, maybe out of 100. Sorry, I overshot.
Oh, out of 100. I was trying to keep it a level opening because we want the excitement to build. So, anyways, it is the Nerdcast, Project Nerd's own flagship podcast, and we do have some amazing podcasts, but always go back to the Nerdcast because we're special. And as we mentioned, all four of us are here tonight for a great episode this week. It is February. A lot of exciting things going on with Project Nerd, a lot of exciting things going on in geek culture. And as always, a million things to talk about when we'll only get to like three of them and derail to things that probably aren't important at the time. But that's what we do, right? So anyways, how's everybody doing this week?
Amazing. I'll just go ahead and jump in.
I'm wonderful.
I'm pretty good. I mean, you know, doing my weekly stuff, playing video games. So that's pretty solid.
Living the dream.
I am enjoying the weather.
You're enjoying the weather. I'm sitting, was scraping 14 inches of snow this morning out of the driveway. Doesn't mean I get to stay home all day, but either way, it was a lot of snow.
It was a little rainy this morning, but the sun came out.
Whatever.
If you stayed home all day, why'd you shovel the driveway?
Well, other people had to leave. But anyways, Tyler obviously enjoying the California weather is what he's referencing out in the Bay Area right now. I was there this summer. It's nice. It's nice to be down there.
But it's nice to be there in February.
That's true. That's much better than I guess even Denver in the summer is really not that bad. So didn't make a huge difference. But you bring it up. It's a great point because we were just talking about before we started recording. Alphabet, not Google, because I called it Google, you know, passing Apple for the most valuable company in the country in terms of stock value.
For the first time in four and a half years.
Was that Monday or Tuesday of this week? I don't remember.
It was Tuesday.
So,
the first time.
Paying attention, we're recording on Tuesday, obviously.
First time in 4.5 years that the highest valuated company in the United States is not Apple.
Crazy. And Apple
a long stretch.
And Apple stock meetings too, to kick off the new year, they even were talking about, look, we had an amazing 2015, so expect 2016 to not quite be there. And then they get this too. Obviously no problems with a company making that kind of money and those kind of products. But at the same time, as you pointed out, something that's very different is this generation of 5-year-olds has grown up knowing Apple is the number one company in the country, right? So
yeah. Well, it's also like, without turning this into like Bloomberg news, like they said like obviously stock earnings were going to be less than, you know, iPhone growth's not where it's at, but there's a lot of articles out there about their dividends being paid down and dividends being paid and stuff like that. So it's a little bit, I think a lot of people saw this coming, but it's still shocking, you know, 5 years at the top almost.
Hey, can't reign supreme forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll take it back at some point.
Yeah.
Definitely. Watch me. I will reign supreme forever.
You gotta get past me there. But anyways, yeah, iPhone 7, when they announce it without the headphone jack, they'll jump back to the top of the world. Innovative. No. Don't think so? That'll be interesting, but the rumors are definitely swirling on that. But we won't stay on the tech too long. Exciting for us, last time we were recording, and obviously nobody else saw it, but we talked about it. I had comic books to show you in terms of proofs for that Bulletproof Kid. Now I actually have full-blown color, about 150, that Bulletproof Kid number one sitting over here next to me that I'm going to be bagging. I'm going to spend all day Saturday bagging and boarding and getting ready to ship out. But super cool. Really excited. It's for real. We have 6 products now over at pnpublishing.com/shop. Or pnpublishing.storeenvy.com. Actually, 6 products now with 4 different titles available immediately for you. So, like, you don't have to wait because that Bulletproof Kid number one and Tobacco Stand Mountain Goat number one physical copies are in possession at this point, and Radiation Day number one and Blue Moon trade paperback, of course, both available via digital copy with variant covers. So that's why there's six options. So awesome. Project Nerd Publishing, February, making a statement, week one. Ciao.
You don't have to mail me mine. I will see you shortly, and you can just bring it with you then.
I'll put it in my suitcase for C2E2.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Please. Please do. Don't lose it, though.
Don't bend it. I'm going to bag and board it, bro. I got please. You.
Thank you.
Bag and board.
You don't have to waste the bag and board on him. He's good with that.
No. I'll just throw it in with my underwear. I'll throw it in with the underwear and everything like that.
He'll make sure he closes the shampoo.
Tyler, I'll bag and board yours, though. Don't worry.
I appreciate it.
I don't like what just happened. You just
hurts. Hurts my heart. That hurts my heart, you guys.
I don't know. It just felt right.
I was just making a joke. You didn't have to go for the gullet and, you know,
the gullet?
Threw Tyler in. I don't know. I don't know.
Did I go for the gullet or maybe it was the mullet? I don't know.
You went for the giblets.
The giblets.
So I feel like there's a really important topic that we need to touch on and clarify before we get into anything else.
Okay, so we're done talking about our comics anyways.
No, we're not. We're going to go back to it.
Okay.
It's going to go full circle. Just
okay. Give him a chance. That's true. We always come back full circle. All right, Tyler.
There may or not be a segue involved. We don't know.
We didn't talk about it last week, and I feel like we did a disservice to our listeners by not touching on what's going on in Fantasy Movie League, because things got really serious this last couple weeks. And by that, I mean, I think Iggy, Aaron, and Adam have stopped playing. So Jared, Ann, and I are running away with it. Namely me, my 5 wins this season, the last 2 in a row weeks. But
yeah, did I mention I've got like stacks of comic books? We have Project Cosplay coming up and a lot of other things going on.
Do I need to play back the episode of you yelling at Aaron about how easy and fast it is to set your lineup?
Anyways, I think the last setting I had still had Alvin and the Chipmunks in Star Wars.
Or do I need to forward you the 15 emails that Fantasy Movie League sends you each week to let you know?
I'm not getting emails from them right now, actually. I wonder, maybe if you don't log in.
They had a hiccup last week. Where the email didn't go out until like literally Thursday. I'm playing, Tyler, to be fair.
Adam, you should have just ran with your gnat if it's that bad.
I suck. So, I mean, I'm okay with this. Well, that's not true. I did claim to be the best a couple of times. But I'm playing. I am a mere $2 million away from passing Aaron, so I won't be in last place, which is exciting.
Wait, I'm beating both of y'all?
I didn't set my lineup for a couple of weeks, yeah.
I haven't set my lineup since January, so.
Well, it's February 2nd, so I don't really think you get to, you know.
No, I mean, the whole month of January, I didn't set. The last week of December was the last time I set this.
Well, if you still had Star Wars on there, if it just kept rolling.
That's true. I just held on to Star Wars.
I missed the week
where Star Wars went from being a 3-day
other thing.
Aaron.
Was I supposed to say something?
You're not in last place. You're beating Adam right now.
Well, we got Adam, and then we got about $2 million, Aaron. Then we've got about $50, $60 million, Iggy.
Wow.
And then we have...
What are you doing over there, Adam and Aaron?
Then we have $120 million to Ann, and then $14 million to Jared, and then another $25 million to Tyler.
So you're saying I'm only $145 million behind you?
You're 180.
About 160, yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't do that.
161 million. Yeah. You're 161 million behind me.
My problem was that I missed the weeks where Star Wars went from like Friday, Saturday, Sunday to getting the whole weekend. So when it made the switch, I didn't get Star Wars anymore.
So it just sit on your list. Yeah. Luckily, I did that I think it was Christmas weekend where it went to the full weekend, and I set that with Alvin and the Chipmunks, which, I mean, for a couple of weeks is at least making money. I'm sure it's still there. I don't know what's on my list anymore, if I even have all the screens.
Just Star Wars. You have one screen full, and it's
Star Wars. Okay.
Yes.
I don't know. I'll try to remember to set this week. We'll see what happens. Aaron.
And Tyler is winning by a bunch.
Aaron, when's the last time you set yours?
Okay. So here's what happened.
I just asked for a time.
Your face. Listen.
So I was,
middle of talking. I kicked your butts and I got first place one time and I didn't want to ruin it for y'all. by destroying you. And I see your faces. I see it, but it's because I care for you all. And I love you too much, and I didn't want to ruin your lives by stopping you.
In Aaron's defense, she did win a week. In fact, the only person in our league to have not won a week is Iggy.
Hey.
That makes me so happy.
This is true.
Because
I can't like prop Aaron up like that without knocking her back down.
Oh, thanks, Tyler.
I have won more times than everyone else in the league combined this season.
Well, good.
How many weeks are we even in on this second season? When's the award season over? Because then I'll be ready to go again, I guess. Because at this point,
we're in week 9 right now. We're in week 10.
Was there 12?
We're in 10. We just finished week 9.
So you've got four more weeks, including this one.
Perfect. So then I can get my stuff back together and then still get trash talked from Tyler.
Yes.
I mean, this will be my fourth season win in a row. So
what? Now you're just adding.
You don't get to count the first one.
Counting like two week preseason. And then we had one season. This will be your third. Even if you count the preseason, we've only technically played for two full seasons.
No, we've played. This is the fourth one.
No, we had the fall and then award season. We didn't play summer. We only had like the last 2 weeks of summer, which we internally called preseason, which you've also claimed victory for.
So, okay, well, then I will have won 3 in a row. I will have won 3.
Still claiming that preseason.
Now, anything you can validate is you still have a 0 in that loss column in terms of season. So.
Oh, I do that. So that's true. I'm undefeated.
There you go. Anyways, I will be happy, though, knowing that I have not played that much, that I am still that far ahead of Adam and Aaron, so that works for me. All right, Tyler, are you happy we got Fantasy Movie League out of the way so you could brag about winning?
I did. You want to talk about books now?
No. I tried to talk about comic books. What's going on with Project Nerd Publishing? Because there's so much excitement going on.
I understand.
Wow, guys, you guys are terrible. Yeah, sounds great. Comic's cool. I like that what you do.
Well, you were getting back into it, so we were being calm and quiet, letting you get back into it.
I'm going over there. Go lay down. You guys have fun.
Hold on, I was in the middle of saying something. You just talked right over me.
You weren't even talking.
I did too. You're gonna listen to this, and you're gonna say, "Oh yeah, that's right. She was saying something." I was gonna say. I said there is a lot of excitement going on in the world of publishing in Project Nerd, and I'm excited. I'm excited for one.
I'm excited. I was reading a script.
I'm excited. No, seriously. The Bulletproof Kid one, though, for real. Like, are we going to have a lot of extra books to be selling, like hotcakes at the shows? Like, can people buy those off of us?
Well, so that was my intention, was to order enough books that we could take them to the conventions we're going to and sell them. Yes, I was planning on that. Thank you. Thank you for giving me that idea, though.
Okay. I mean, I was just curious, you know.
Like, the Bulletproof Kid looks fantastic. And, of course, Tobacco Stain Mountain Goat, with this airing on Friday, will have arrived on
Groot Thursday. Or Goat?
Well, you decide. No, Goat. Well, Tobacco Stain Mountain Goat. It's really cool because Andrew Bergen, Tokyo, Japan, he wrote a novel of the same name, and he's basically turning it into a graphic novel for us, into a series. So it'll be a comic series that in the end will come together as a graphic novel set that'll be basically an interpretation of his novel, which is awesome. And then of what was awesome is Brian Timmons, who is doing the artwork for Barons, one of our original titles, that went something we're creating completely in-house, including Aaron helping on the characters, me as well. He did the color for Radiation Day. So Radiation Day was Brett Jones and Chris Yarborough. We've met him. I mean, obviously, we used to, you know, Kansas City area. Tyler's still in Kansas City area. And those guys are based out of that. Did Radiation Day. We ran into him at some shows, met him. Beautiful, awesome comic, but completely in black and white. So Brian Timmons has applied color for the Project Nerd Publishing release. And it is gorgeous. The color in this is just absolutely stunning, guys. Like, you've got to see it. I know Aaron's seen it. I don't think you guys have seen it.
Yeah, I saw it first. Thank you for pointing that out.
Actually, I saw it first, if you want to be correct there.
Well, I was just talking about how I beat them.
I feel like Brian Timmons probably saw it first.
That's true. Very true. But anyways, day of recording, he did just send me over the edited version because we had our editor go through it to clean up some tech stuff. And it's pretty much ready to go. And it is just gorgeous. The comic's fun as it is anyways. I mean, it's a post-apocalyptic buddy cop comic. What can you go wrong with there? And now it's got full color. But you can get the digital copy of it for $3 right now, a PDF, 26 pages, $3, PDF, emailed to you immediately. So if you want to check it out, head on over to pnpublishing.storeenvy.com or pnpublishing.com/shop. Anyways, there's your book talk, Tyler. Excited?
Woohoo!
He raised the arm like he's thrilled for it. All right, so another thing we were talking about before we started recording was the new Deadpool PSA. So last week we talked about his Australian Day viral video or whatever, the marketing video, which was very funny. And now he released an awareness video for prostate cancer, which was hilarious. And then he had to follow up, of course, with the video for breast cancer. So I believe we've all seen these.
Yeah, okay. they've just done a ridiculous job with the marketing for this. Like, everything they're doing is spot on.
The best thing about these is both these videos, like, as funny as they are with it being Deadpool and all, legitimate, like, this is what you need to do.
That's important information, right? Yeah.
Really good information. And the end of the breast cancer one, he even says, look, a film that'll save your life and has boobs, something for everybody. You're welcome, world. That's that's how he closes it. And it's true. It's like... and it's really funny too, because he's like, try not to think about me while you're watching this this display of how to check for breast cancer. And the whole time they have the infographic on the screen, there's this picture of Deadpool over in the corner. And it's like, try not to think about me. And he's just sitting over there. But yeah, pretty funny. I would say both of them pretty good. So if you haven't seen them, go check them out for sure. And I agree. Yeah, the viral marketing. I've avoided watching too many trailers for Deadpool because of my fear that they were going to push this over the top. But if it's anything, as we talked about last week, like this viral videos they're doing for it, I think this movie is going to be a win.
Yeah, I don't doubt it anymore. I was a little worried initially that they were going to go too far with the fourth wall stuff and too sarcastic, I guess. But no, I think they found a sweet spot.
Yeah, I'm excited. I was trying to stay fairly cautiously optimistic about it, but the more market, I mean, and it's marketing, you know, maybe it doesn't really reflect the movie, but I'm excited about it. There's a couple movies coming out this next couple weeks I'm super excited about, but that one probably more so than any other.
Yeah. And I feel like they really are clearly, and in a fun way, acknowledging the mistakes that they did with the Deadpool character in X-Men Origins. And that makes me even feel a little bit more comfortable that saying, look, like, I know we're making a joke about it, but if you want to really be honest, look, we messed this up. So here we are fixing it. So hopefully that also validates some. Aaron, what do you think about the Deadpool movie coming up?
I'm pumped. Like, pumped, pumped. Haven't I, like, had a chance to talk about this before? A little bit? No?
I mean, okay. You didn't chime in much when we talked about it.
Okay, well, I'm pumped because...
You're too busy talking about Ben Affleck as Batman.
Well, Ryan Reynolds has been one of my favorites since Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place, not only because he's amazingly dreamy and handsome, but because I love his acting and he's always been perfect for Deadpool. Like, I feel like Deadpool could be Ryan Reynolds. Like, Ryan Reynolds could be Wade Wilson. Like, that's him. So, I don't know. I think he does a great job in all of the little bits I've seen of him, and it's just going to be fucking amazing. Woo! Okay, I said it.
That's going to be 2 weeks in a row that somebody stole Tyler's F-bomb.
For 2 weeks in a row. Woo!
Quit making fun of my...
you can't say 2 weeks in a row and get away with it.
I can if I edit it out.
It's like that episode of Twins Peak.
Shut up, Tyler. Shut up. Anyways, you bring a great point, though. When we first heard Ryan Reynolds was going to be Deadpool in X-Men Origins Wolverine, and we have seen... What now? What did I say now?
Deadpool.
Deadpool.
I just hate life, guys.
It's adorable, though. It's so cute.
So when we first heard about Ryan Reynolds being Deadpool in X-Men Origins Wolverine, immediately following a successful X-Men release of movies, I know the third one was a little bit of a disaster, but... You know, we were willing to see what was still on, to be offered. that was the same verdict of like Ryan Reynolds equals Wade Wilson. This completely makes sense. They still butchered the hell out of that character. That he had 5 minutes at the beginning where you're like, this is exactly what I'm expecting. And then it disappeared. So at the same time, as much as we're like, yeah, this is the right fit here, there's still that fear of this is Fox. I mean, just let's just rewind to the summer and say two words, Fantastic Four. Like, that's all you got to say, right? So you still have to have a little bit of reservations about it.
Well, and that Deadpool movie prior to X-Men Wolverines, I mean, Wolverine, God, what was the craziest?
X-Men Origins.
Yeah. Jesus, so terrible. But it was like that movie was practically in production. Like, the Deadpool movie was greenlit, ready to go. And then that movie came out, and that movie got taken out of production and was put on hold indefinitely, like almost immediately. And that movie was all but dead until the leaked test footage came out. That was made 5 years earlier, you know, pre X-Men Origins.
Which Ryan Reynolds has wrongfully taken credit for releasing that test footage, by the way. Just putting it out there. Maybe he really did. I don't know. I'm assuming he wasn't actually the one who leaked it, but he definitely is claiming ownership to that.
I mean, that the release of that test footage basically took a dead movie and put it in production practically overnight.
Well, it was something like that was just leaked itself, like that the movie was greenlit within like 48 hours of that test footage being leaked out, that somebody at Fox was like, holy crap, we're making this movie. I don't care what happens right now.
For sure. So February, we are excited for Deadpool. Tyler, you mentioned a few other movies coming out as well, too. So what else is on the slate?
I mean, today, as this is airing, is the release of the new Coen Brothers movies, Hail Caesar, which I'm super excited.
Looks hilarious.
Entirely on the cast and trailer. The only thing that makes me a little trepidation is it's now Tuesday that we're recording this, and there's still no reviews out for it. So I don't know if there's a moratorium on them, which is odd for a Coen Brothers movie, but I'm a little concerned about that. But I'm still going to go see it. It's a Coen Brothers movie. I'm sure I'll enjoy it.
We also have a Western this week as well, sneaking out with Natalie Portman as the star in it. Jane Got a Gun. Looks kind of interesting. It's definitely an independent feature, but basically Natalie Portman is in deep with like the Western mafia and has got to pull her shit together, and she gets a gun. But anyway, you know, as simple as that sounds, it's a Western. So you just throw in Western theme and you're like, oh, okay, actually that sounds pretty good, you know? Because if you were to explain that, like modern day time, Natalie Portman gets bad with the mob, gets a gun, defends herself. Okay, we've seen that a million times. But it's a Western. Oh, okay, tell me more.
Yeah. We've seen it a million times in every Western.
But that's okay. It's still a Western, right? With Natalie Portman. Like, are you really, like, you're not going to see it even eventually?
Yeah, I mean, it made what? It came out, what, the 29th and made like about $1 million.
Oh, was it? So it got limited release last week. Or was that wide release? I don't know.
It was wide release in the sense it was in 1,000 theaters, which is not like wide release.
Yeah.
It's not like small, but it's not wide. Yeah.
The reviews on it were not stellar, but but
I'm still interested. Check it out. All right. What else we got, Tyler?
What else is coming up? There's quite a few. I mean, this weekend is the release of Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies, which I know a lot of people are looking forward to.
Should be a smash hit at the box office.
I was actually pretty surprised with the cast they got together for that movie. Like, it, as they're naming people off, I'm like, why? How did they get these people for this movie? Like, wow.
Then next week, we, in addition to Deadpool, we get Zoolander 2.
Should be fun, you know.
We get How to Be Single, which I think actually looks kind of hilarious. If anyone's seen the trailers for that one?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's the one with Dakota Johnson and Rebel Wilson.
And Rebel Wilson's funny. We'll probably add a dimension to that there. I mean, you got good cast there, but it's not something that I'm like, oh, yay. Like, it's something. I mean, I'll definitely watch it eventually.
And then one of the most controversial men on the planet has his next movie come out next week as well. Where to Invade Next by Michael Moore.
Yeah.
A movie about America that is filmed, absolutely none of it is filmed in the United States. Basically just him going around talking to people in other countries about their thoughts on the United States.
Yeah, we won't go too far into it, but he is, I don't know. I mean, as much as I hate Michael Moore, he is a pretty solid fiction writer, but anyways.
We're not going to go too far in it, but I'm going to.
I do love, and as much as you can take that as an insult to his documentaries, which maybe I meant that, really his fiction movie, Canadian Bacon, is a pretty solid movie. I really enjoy that film. It's a pretty good comedy. So Michael Moore, for those that don't know, I know he's famous on his, as you mentioned, controversial documentaries, but in the 80s, or maybe, no, it was late 80s, he released a film called Canadian Bacon with Dan Aykroyd, John Candy, you know, all those typical guys, and it's pretty funny movie.
Is it that old? I thought it was like 90s, because it was like
the early 90s.
It was the last movie John Candy did before he died.
No. I don't think so. Was it that late?
Oh, yeah.
Is it? Yeah, it felt.
I'm going to look it up because I'm concerned.
Okay.
1995. Yeah, 1995.
Okay. Well, 95, 85, it's all the same, right? I don't know.
No, it's
when
not.
It comes
not
to that really group, not. When it comes to that group of guys, I mean, honestly, you know, the comedy style didn't change too much for them, which is not a bad thing at all. It was definitely funny. No. But anyways, if you are going to watch a Michael Moore film, that's the one I recommend, Canadian Bacon. Check it out. Just make sure you write all your insults in both English and French, as you're supposed to do in Canada. But there is a lot coming out, and it's great we talk about that, because when movie season happening, it's earlier and earlier these blockbusters come out. You got, obviously, Deadpool is your big blockbuster for February, but Zoolander, as much as it's hard going up against Deadpool, in reality, it's a sequel to a successful comedy. It's going to pull some money. You know, that's a good one. Michael Moore, you know, it's a documentary, so those don't always do huge at the box office, but it'll definitely get a lot of attention. So a lot going on in February, and then March you have Batman versus Superman, and then each month you have something. And it's great to point out, because today also, Friday, February 5th, and it's Brandon, one of our movie writers, wrote his top 10 most anticipated films of 2016, and a number of titles, good titles on the list, interesting stuff, including Deadpool, obviously, but you also had Batman versus Superman, Captain America Civil War. You have Rogue One. You have, what else do you have? Suicide Squad this year. You have the Ninja Turtles sequel, which I know, but at the same time, you've got Stephen Amell as Casey Jones. That's kind of like, and you get Bebop, Rocksteady, and Crane. Only thing that really worries me about Crane is that I read an interview that involved Michael Bay, and he was looking at the digital part of Crane. Like, they were showing him, he's like, that squid guy, he needs less arms. I'm like, you don't even know the names of the characters in your movie. Like, seriously, I get it. You're just an executive producer. And that's the other thing, too, when they talk about, oh, everybody's complaining about the, you know, my last Ninja Turtles being ruined by Michael Bay, but he didn't direct it. It's like, no, he had a lot of influence on that movie. And the fact that he's talking about the squid guy having too many tentacles and we need to tone that down obviously shows that he's going to have a lot of influence on this. And unfortunately, since it's Michael Bay, probably for the worst. But a number of titles.
Is Krang still from Dimension X? Is that still?
Yeah, there's supposed to be. I know the Dimension X thing's supposed to come into play. And then, of course, Stephen Amell coming in as Casey Jones, which everybody loves Casey Jones. Either way, a lot of movies. Brandon has a top 10 list of his most anticipated films. But could you guys even just pick one for this year? That's your most anticipated movie of 2016?
It's tough, but I feel like I've probably got to go with Civil War.
Over Rogue One?
Yeah. I'm not as pumped about Rogue One as I was about, like, I'm more pumped about Episode 8 than I am about Rogue One.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, but when I ask you next January, what's your most anticipated movie 2017, is obviously all of us are going to be like, Episode 8, obviously, you know, like,
but I'm pumped about Civil War. I'm pumped about them. I mean, it looks like it's going to tie up some of the Avengers storylines. I'm excited to see Spider-Man get to be in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
That's cool. That trailer just didn't do it for me. I need another trailer from them. Adam, Aaron, anticipated most, if you could pick just one most anticipated movie for 2016.
That's a really big question. I don't know.
Yeah, it really does make me feel like young Neil.
Yeah, like, good question. Immediately sat back on the couch and I could think back on my most anticipated film of 2015.
Which was?
I still haven't seen it. Macbeth. I still haven't seen Macbeth.
That was your most, wow, of all the things that came out in 2015. I don't know. I'm with you guys. You know, I could, if I, and Tyler kind of is on the same page, I could reluctantly pick one like Tyler did, but it's really hard to just pick one this year. And it's because of that geek culture just penetrating the movie scene so much. As much as I'm worried about it, you know, there's a lot for me that hopes for Suicide Squad to be great. And I'm kind of excited to see it. So I'm anticipating it. You could take a shit and put it in between two pieces of bread, and if you call it Ninja Turtles, I'm interested to see what's going on with it. I mean, it's the Ninja Turtles, right? So it's hard. Rogue One, because as much as I get it, it's not Episode 7 or 8, and Episode 7 was amazing, introducing us to new characters. Rogue One takes us back to that era of A New Hope, you know? So some nostalgia going on there as well. You got Harry Potter coming back in the movie scenes. I know not the character necessarily, but that franchise reintroduced this year. As you mentioned, Marvel movie, DC movies, Deadpool, like all this stuff going on. It's just so hard to pick just one. It's so fantastic. And these are just your big blockbusters. We haven't even really looked deep into the award contenders, which I know all four of us also appreciate greatly. So it's going to be a big year.
I don't know. And there's a lot of ones that I think are just setting this up for disappointment, but you know, we'll see what happens. I think, like, we obviously get Deadpool this month, and then we get Batman Superman next month, then not really a comic book movie for a month, and then I'm not sure what Fox is thinking, but their Civil War and Apocalypse come out the same month.
Oh yeah, I forgot about X-Men too.
I don't know how that ends well. And we got, and then it's geek culture, not so much comic book, but we still have the Warcraft movie this year, which I'm sure will be big. If it's any good, it'll be big. We still have the Independence Day remake. We got We got the Finding Nemo sequel. We got the Now You See Me sequel, which is a movie I enjoy that I don't think really needs a sequel. But
no, it definitely didn't. But I agree, it was an enjoyable film. But I didn't think Finding Dory is going to smash it. Like, and then I forgot you had X-Men as well, and
Ghostbusters.
Yeah, and then what's Marvel? They're releasing Doctor Strange, right? Is that the other one they're getting this year?
Let's see, Star Trek.
Yeah, but Star Trek 3, knowing that Fast and Furious director and watching that trailer. Yeah.
We get the new Bourne movie,
which is always fun.
I'll tell you the movie I'm really pumped about is, has anyone seen the trailer for Laika's new movie, Kubo and the Two Strings, the motion capture one? You should watch that trailer. I've
not seen the trailer for it.
Is Doctor Strange this year? I honestly,
they're doing two. I know they're doing like pretty much two every year now, and I feel like it's Doctor Strange we're getting in the fall. And don't you get Assassin's Creed this year as well, or is that next year?
I believe it's supposed to be this year, but I'm not 100% positive.
We're supposed to get Gambit this year too, aren't we?
No, I think Fox has got that for next, like the same time Deadpool comes out, February, March area for next year is Gambit.
Yeah. And Ron Howard and Tom Hanks are going to take another crack at the Robert Langdon books with Inferno. So that'll be interesting.
I'm cool. Oh, they're going to do Inferno?
I'm cool with that.
Oh, I didn't know this. Apparently there's going to be a Jack Reacher sequel with Tom Cruise again.
I'm cool with that too, because Jack Reacher surprised me. It was really good.
Better than it should have been. Yep.
It was way better than it had. Yeah, Doctor Strange is not until November though.
Yeah. That's all right. And that's the thing, where like blockbuster season now starts in February and isn't ending till, you know, Christmas. Like it used to be, hey, in May through August, and then you'd get it again around Christmas time. But now it's just straight 10 to 11 months of blockbuster season, which I'm cool with. More movies for us, right?
Indeed.
Well, I think they're doing a better job of spreading them out. So yeah, you don't have as many movies opening back to back weekends or the same weekend. Like since Marvel and DC or Marvel and Disney started putting their release schedule out like 5 years in advance, everybody's like, maybe we won't release in May and June this year.
Yeah. And it's a good call. And like Tyler pointed out, with Apocalypse and Civil War both coming out same month, questionable decision, because everybody else, like you said, is like, well, I'm going to pick that month where it's not already there. And you had April, as you pointed out, April was open. One of those could have pulled up and you could have gotten one each month and it would have probably benefited both. But anyways, let us know what's your most anticipated movies of 2016, because I'm sure it's going to be hard for you to pick just one as well. But as you can tell, we're all pretty excited about film. Most of us, I don't know. Aaron seemed kind of lukewarm about things.
It's not that I'm lukewarm. Okay, maybe actually.
What? Anyways, it's because all she's thinking about is Ben Affleck as Batman.
I think she's more on the Ryan Reynolds now.
As Deadpool? Wait,
you know, yeah. Honestly, that is one that I'm actually really excited about Deadpool.
Because she loves Ryan Reynolds acting.
So speaking of that, has anybody seen, I didn't watch the actual commercial, but somebody posted it. What car company is it that has like a commercial where it's just like the car's driving through a full town of Ryan Reynolds?
Ryanville.
Yeah. So it's like all Ryan Reynolds. So like there's like a group of guys playing like touch football and it's all Ryan Reynolds. Somebody doing the lawn at this house and it's Ryan Reynolds. Like people at the store walking down the street.
Are they all rocking around just saying Reynolds, Reynolds,
Reynolds, Reynolds? I haven't watched it yet. I just saw pictures of it and somebody posted it on social media. So I got to check it out though. It seems interesting. But it's funny because the picture I saw was like him under center, like snapping a football with that.
It doesn't really have the same ring to it as Malkovich.
Oh, Malkovich. That should be interesting. So find that out. Like I said, I don't know which car company it is. But we'll come back to movies in a second because we do have a fun topic to talk about, which is worst best picture winners for the Oscars as we get closer and closer to Oscars. We'll talk about something that Project Nerd's doing that's really exciting to celebrate Black History Month, and that's called 29 Days of Power. So Matt and RW, two of our comic book writers, are really taking this on for comic book content. And Matt is covering twice a week. Is going to detail 4 to 5 fantastic Black characters out of the comic books with RW covering a more in-detailed article. So he released his first two this week, and then the one earlier this week was Volume 1, which included characters like Black Panther, Static, Moon Girl, War Machine, and then, of course, the created by Amy Reeder, who created Moon Girl. She actually really enjoyed that write-up and also has been pushing it out on her social media. So that's a really cool thing. So thank you, Amy Reeder. But really cool spotlight on some of Black characters in comics. And it brings us to a good point, a good topic here. And we've talked about it briefly before. I don't think we've really spent a lot of time on it, but we've talked about the lack of diversity that especially the big publishers used to have. And of all things, I mean, Marvel, I don't want to say they're not doing a lot of things right. They're definitely doing a lot of things right in terms of the entertainment business when you talk about movies and merchandising and all that. But on the comic book side, Marvel's, I would say, of the major or mid-major publishers, definitely leading the way and putting some more diversity in their comics, including with the changes with Ms. Marvel giving their first ever Muslim female lead and, you know, Black Panther having his own title, a lot of things going on. So kudos to Marvel for that. Not just Black characters here as we talk about Black History Month, but diversity all around. And it is definitely forcing the hand of DC and other publishers as well. So pretty cool. But anyways, so Matt's making that list, but any iconic Black comic characters that you guys can think of? I mean, obviously Black Panther's a great one. Really excited to see him in Civil War too. And the cool thing about him is that he's such in the comics, especially the Ultimates universe, he's such a pivotal character for the Avengers team. But any other characters you guys want to point out as we talk about this?
I mean, you got to go. I think you have to throw out Falcon.
Which too, and obviously too, that's another big controversial piece that Matt wrote about because becoming Captain America, and then all of a sudden, of course, they brought Steve Rogers back because. As Tyler always says, unless you're what, Uncle Ben and who else you like.
Well, Steve Rogers wasn't dead this time. He just wasn't Captain America.
Okay. I don't know.
Right. Simply retired, not like
doing other things.
I can't keep up anymore. So anyways, Falcon, that's a good one. Luke Cage is a great one, especially with the Netflix series coming up and a fantastic portrayal of him and Jessica Jones.
War Machine, Blade.
Here we go though. All Marvel as you're pointing
Storm.
Out.
I'm trying to think of a couple Green Lanterns.
DC has John Stewart as Green Lantern.
Yeah, I mean you got John Stewart.
So basically, DC is racist. And no, if you want to point out
DC, a great character is John Jans of Mars, actually, who's a Martian. He decides to portray a strong black man when he takes human form. So that's, I mean, a pretty cool deal there for DC. But yeah, I mean, as much as like I love DC Comics, it is true. I mean, Marvel definitely not only
does Cyborg have his own title?
Not typically, because really Cyborg's just not that complex of character. His origin story is always great because you have three or four different interpretations that always bring you back, usually to Star Labs or something like that. But at the end of the day, it's like, I mean, it's just this guy that's like half machine, half guy who was a great athlete. Like, okay. Like,
yeah, I'm trying to think of some. Everyone I'm coming up with is Marvel. Death Clock, Cloak.
You go to Image Comics, one of the very Bishop. Iconic ones is Spawn over in Image.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, yeah.
Todd McFarlane, definitely. I mean, that built his brand and definitely impacted the
Image brand greatly. 20 years ago?
Yeah. And you took a black character, but you also put him into, like, he was a demon of like hell, like he's a spawn of hell and became this guardian, like really a lot of topics that, you know, could have been taken in certain ways by certain people, but definitely a great character there for inspiration.
DC Black Vulcan from the Super Friends,
there you go.
You have some black villains like Amanda Waller has always been.
And is she Amanda Waller is a great character to point out, though, too, because as much as we're joking on DC, Amanda Waller, you point out she's a villain, but at the same time, she's really just an antagonist. She's an anti-hero because there's time
complex.
Villain's,
yeah.
Villain's not the right word.
Yeah. And at the same time, more importantly, not only is she black, she's a woman, and she's a very powerful character when she gets put into the comic. She's a very low-key, not used often, and doesn't have powers, doesn't really anything. But at the same time, when she comes into play in a situation, she demands attention, and she is a powerful character.
Also,
oh, I know one of Iggy's favorites, John Henry Irons.
Am I not talking? Steel. What?
Go ahead, Aaron.
Is this mic not working?
Yeah, it's working. Go ahead, because I don't want to listen to Tyler talk about Steel anyways.
I don't think I'll have another one, because there's no way that you guys are going to, like, this. You're not going to think of this one. The Black Ranger. Boom.
From the Power Rangers, I guess.
Yeah. From the Power Rangers. Black Ranger 1 and 2. And the
Walter Jones. And 3 Jones. And 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and Hold 8. On.
And Walter Jones squished my ear holes and gave me a hug.
So at the same time you're mentioning that, like, is it really – because Saban also has done a great job of always making the Black Power Ranger – an actual black person. So is that are we really saying that's a great thing, or are we
The first Yellow Ranger was definitely an Asian.
Yeah. That's because she was originally yellow she came over from the original Power Rangers.
To be fair, all the Power Rangers were originally Asian, right? Like, weren't they? So
no, because she came over from the original Power Rangers, which were in
She definitely did not. A new actress for the American.
No,
definitely an American
yes.
girl.
Yes.
No, they kept one of the original ones. Did I fabricate this in my dreams?
Yes. Fabricated it somewhere.
I don't think so. I think you guys are lying.
Definitely you're making
fabricated it and apparently a racist.
When did you guys become? No, I was trying to justify my racism. So when did you guys become so like such experts on the Power Rangers?
On Power Rangers? We were 90s kids?
I was a 90s kid too, and I watched that shit.
Trini was definitely
Aaron.
An American girl of Vietnamese descent.
So anyways,
she was Vietnamese.
Anyways, Power Rangers may not be the best example to turn to. And as much as we are doing content from all areas, we're definitely going to, you know, some additional cosplay galleries, things of that nature. Definitely encourage you to check out 29 Days of Power. Matt doing a great job of leading that. He's also going to have some interviews, some great comic creator interviews. If you don't visit our website, shame on you. Go over to projectnerd.com and check it out, because comic content for 2016 is definitely skyrocketing through the roof right now. We're working with a whole lot more publishers on reviews. On the same time, we're creating our own content, as we pointed out earlier. But we have some comic writers that are just like, we have to do this stuff, and are just taking it by the reins there and just making stuff happen. So you're seeing comic content increase And people are paying attention to it because we had two comic reviews in the top 10 things this month for January, as I pointed out in that email I sent out a few days ago. So that's huge. Usually cosplay is like, hey, 1 through 10, it's cosplay. But no. So pay attention to the comic content we're covering. But like I said, all kinds of content and 29 days of power. But I think we pointed out some good characters. Yes, and mainly Marvel. But as we pointed out, Marvel is definitely leading the way of the big publishers there for that diversity piece. So it'll be exciting. And this will continue into March as we have Women's History Month coming up right behind it. So we'll be doing some similar coverage for that month. But anyways, exciting stuff. I do want to get to this, though. I'm really excited for this. I'm going to take us back to movies. And then I will let Tyler finally like spend forever on books. But Adam, I'll let you open us up on this since you're the one who found the article that Tyler, from a website Tyler loves so much. So,
well, I mean, even bad websites can provide interesting conversation pieces. So
not that bad of a website. They've got this list pretty right on.
No, they're doing website. They're doing all right today, at least. Business Insider, one of their writers, Jason Garacio, put out an article today about the worst. Well, he did 10, but the 10 worst Best Picture winners and what he thinks should have won that year.
Now, before you get into it, we went over this list before we started. And when we get to number one, there's going to be some argument. I'm just going to go ahead and put that out there because Tyler.
Well, here's the problem with
this. Whoa, we haven't got the number one. I'm not going to go
there. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm just saying, here's the problem with this list. And the fact that he picked the winner is your problem, and it's his problem. This is not a list of the worst movies to have won the Academy Award. This is the list of movies that you feel like were snubbed for the Academy Award for a movie you didn't like as much.
None of these
movies that you're going to list are bad movies. They're all amazing.
Well, I mean, I will give you that to a degree. There's a couple movies on there that I'm like, no.
This is your personal feelings about a movie that got snubbed and not about actual bad movies that won Academy.
You're right. And Tyler does put out a good point. The list is more of this writer feels snubs. Like the 10 years that this other movie should have beat this movie. Not necessarily these are just 10 terrible movies that won. Yeah. But it's because there's definitely other years where it's – I mean, there's been years where even recently, I think in the early 2000s, we saw a few years of those where you kind of look at the list and you're like, man, if you were to put that up against previous years or even recent years, like none of those movies stood a chance, you know? So good point. But all right, let's continue on.
Okay, so they starts with number 10, Around the World in 80 Days. From 1956, and the movie says should have won would have been the Ten Commandments.
I agree with that. Around the World in 80 Days, the original one, and the remakes, but the original one is a fun classic movie. But I agree, that's not a Best Picture winner, especially when you're going up against the Ten Commandments.
Right, and I think that's where Tyler's point comes in, is that there are plenty of years where that movie should have won Best Picture, but the year. This year in particular, 56, going up against the Ten Commandments, that's what makes it hard.
Of all the movies on the list, though, I get what you're saying, and I agree with that in terms of the list in general, because there will be some more that statement I think holds true. But of all the movies on the list, there's a couple, and Around the World in 80 Days is one of them where I'm like, I don't know if any year that should have actually been a Best Picture winner.
Yeah, that's one that I'll get on board with. The problem is I feel like I could pick any year in the list, any year that we gave out an Academy Award for Best Picture, and get quite a few people on my side to say that this other one should have won. Like, what was that one? That was, what, 56? If you jump one more year, 57, there's a million people who want to argue that Bridge Over the River Kwai should not have won. It should have been 12 Angry Men.
Well, yeah, see, that's – but at the same time
– there's a movie there that you think should
every
have won.
Every year. Yeah, every year. But let's do this. Let's look at this. So, okay, 1956, you have Around the World in 80 Days that won over The King and I – and the Ten Commandments. And in 1957, you have the Bridge Over the River Kwai that won over 12 Angry Men. 12 Angry Men versus the Bridge Over the River Kwai, like that's a debatable topic. I feel like Around the World in 80 Days over The King and I and Ten Commandments is, I mean, that's a harder, that you can make your argument, but that's a much harder argument to make than the Bridge Over River Kwai compared to 12 Angry Men. And I trust me, I favor 12 Angry Men. When I own that movie, I enjoy it greatly. But at the same time,
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things. You go down these lists, you go down to 61, West Side Story winning over The Hustler, Judgment at Nuremberg, and The Guns of the Navarone.
Whoa, it's West Side Story, bro.
That's what I'm saying. That's yours, but I think okay, out of 62, Lawrence of Arabia, quite possibly one of the greatest movies ever made, wins over The Music Man, Mutiny on the Mutiny on the Bounty, and To Kill a Mockingbird.
And The Longest Day. That's a loaded year. I'm sorry. The 1962? That year is stacked.
That's
right up there with 1994.
In almost every year that we make this argument, oh, this one should have won over that. There's probably fucking
Okay, Tyler, you're arguing.
There's probably a movie that came out that year that didn't get nominated that should have won.
He's building his case for number one because he's going to stand firm on that. But okay, let's stick to the list. All right, so that was number 10. And they say, obviously, what was that, 1956, right? So They say the Ten Commandments over Around the World in 80 Days. But I point out, even The King and I was even nominated that year and could have possibly won. All right, so let's go to number nine.
Number nine, it's from 1980. You got Ordinary People, and they say Raging Bull should have won.
This hands down. This is less – so where I say Around the World in 80 Days is like, does that win any year? I don't think it should. Can Ordinary People win any year? I think it can. But Raging – like, I mean, you guys have seen Raging Bull, right? Not only Raging Bull, but you have The Elephant Man that year as well.
And Coal Miner's Daughter.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any of these movies. I'm just going to jump in and say that. None.
Coal Miner's Daughter, I mean, it's hard.
Don't let me surprise.
I just got ignored. It's quick. Just keep going.
We just keep going because this is the normal statement from
Mary. That's why I'm quiet.
Wait, you haven't seen Raging Bull, though? Okay, so the other ones I'm going to go, I'm going to understand, but Raging Bull?
No, I haven't. Been on my to-do list for the last literally 7 years.
And I need to go back.
King and I?
No, I need to go back a few years. Not even King and I. Let's 12 Angry Men.
I've seen parts of King and I, and I think I vaguely remember it. Like, I think I saw it a little bit.
Hold on. 12 Angry Men?
Peter Fonda just killing it?
Who's right. Peter Fonda?
Adam, can you just take a
Oh my gosh. Your
sweet
face.
Merciful Lord.
Oh my gosh. Can you please? Oh, Iggy. Oh, please.
I need another screenshot
his face and make that the banner.
Which one's face? Whose face?
Adam.
I'm just going to take all four of us and all of our faces up there.
Because so good.
I thought Adam, after you said that, I thought Adam was like constipated on a toilet. I was looking
at Tyler's face.
I was looking down at my empty glass.
Did you really say who's Henry Fonda? Is that a thing that...
I thought you said Peter Fonda.
No. Adam.
No, Henry
next.
Fonda.
No, next.
Okay, is it Jane Fonda's father? Or her
Moving
husband?
Moving on. Oh my gosh.
Moving on. I want to go this
I've
one.
I've got to go.
More recent. And number eight, I totally stand behind.
Number eight, 1997, Titanic. And they say LA Confidential should have won.
Was that one with the vagina?
L.A. Confidential? No, what? You're thinking Basic Instinct, which isn't even in the league of L.A. Confidential. No. L.A. Confidential's cast and content
Whatever. I always
cinematography.
Think the vagina, I don't know why.
Everything about L.A. Confidential.
Talk about your movies.
Listen, I'm trying to. But L.A. Confidential, not even that. Like, Titanic shouldn't even stood a chance to Good Will Hunting. Like, Good Will Hunting's a movie that's amazing. Like, That's another year where it's like Titanic. And look, as good as it gets in the full Monty, I get Titanic set numbers at the box office. But then if that's the case, let's give The Dark Knight its dues then at the Academy Awards that year, if that's what we're ranking off of. Because when I look at those five movies, Titanic's the worst.
Here's the problem. Titanic's one of those ones, though, like we're in the exact wrong demo to appreciate it because it's one of those things that was so big at a very specific age for us. And now we look back on it like, that fucking movie. But it really is good. We're incapable of looking back at it objectively.
I'm not. No. I own it. It is a good movie. It is well directed. You know, James Cameron is a solid director. Good acting. Kate Winslet and Leo DiCaprio are constant. I mean, poor Leo never wins. Maybe this year, but he's constantly at the Oscars because he's always nominated. You know, it's a great. But when man, look at that slate. Like, I mean, we're talking. As good as it gets, which, yeah, maybe that doesn't beat Titanic. Okay, I'll give you that. Maybe it's just fun because Jack Nicholson's great.
Are As Good as It Gets and Full Monty are both really good movies. They're not Best Picture
winners. Okay, okay, okay. I'll give you those. But Good Will Hunting and L.A. Confidential, like, this is not even – this isn't even Around the World in 80 Days versus, you know, like, versus the Ten Commandments. This is – I mean, Titanic, what it has going for it's the numbers, but Good Will Hunting and L.A. Confidential are movies that are, like, they're just – they're, like, phenomenal. Those are movies that no matter what year they come out in, they're going to make that top five. Like, they're going to be in that five of nominees. I don't think
Titanic. I think Titanic would have been too.
I don't know. I don't know.
You also have to take into account like what it was for that time. It was a groundbreaking movie, like the special effects, like the scale of it and stuff like that.
Yeah, but
the Lord of the Rings win.
But it's the same.
It doesn't win with out of context. The, you know, Matrix doesn't win all those special effects words out of context.
Like, yeah, but Matrix doesn't win Best Picture. And
no. I'm just saying that like
and James Cameron sets a new bar with Terminator, and you know. In
you
Avatar,
can't take those, you can't, stuff, and he's, you can't he's take those broke. Movies. You can't take those movies out of the context of the time period they came out. Like we're looking back on movies that came out 50 years ago, being like, "Well, this one's obviously better with 50 years of hindsight."
All right, let's go to number seven because this one's probably more of a it's hard to decide, and it's also in 2010. So you're not just talking five movies now. We're actually opening that list up to what was it, 9 or 10.
So the number seven movie is from 2010. The winner was The King's Speech. And they're going to say The Social Network should have won.
This one is harder. This one I'm going to give The King's Speech, you know, but you have movies like Black Swan, The Fighter, The Social Network. This is the first – or is this – no, it's the second year if I'm looking at the list to where you open up that list. So then you get movies like Toy Story 3 and Inception where they were huge blockbusters. They're movies like you mentioned with Titanic. They changed certain things of cinematic aspects. They made things happen but necessarily aren't Best Picture winners. I agree Titanic is better nominee than possibly even Inception, which I appreciate more. But this one I'm not going to have a rant for because it's a harder argument.
Well, now with the widened, because like to be fair, we're picking against the nominees. Like we're not picking against every movie that came out that year, because there's definitely years that movies got snubbed even from a nomination. And if you were to say, well, you know what else movie came out that year? This one, you'd be like, oh, why did that one win? It didn't even get nominated. But with a wider field of nominees, like it's even harder. Like 127 Hours, Black Swan, The Fighter, Inception, The Social Network, True Grit, Winner's Bone. Toy Story 3. That's a hard goddamn choice.
I really feel though, like as much as when I look at that list of The Social Network's phenomenal and it's just so well done. And the same thing goes with Black Swan, but like, are those two directors, like, are they ever going to make a movie that's going to win like a Best Picture? Like as much as we wanted to, like, are you ever going to see Aronofsky and,
Fincher.
Thank you. Fincher. Like at the end of the day, like, those are the guys that like they're finally going to like towards the end of their careers, they're going to finally give them something because those are just movies. The Academy just isn't going to.
Well, I think it's surprising they picked Social Network because obviously Social Network won for best original screen or adapted or original screenplay that year, didn't it?
Yeah. It won screenplay. It won score. Okay. It had some wins.
Honestly, if you want to be honest with this list, if you're going to argue for a movie that should have won over The King's Speech, I think you have to go with The Fighter over The King's Speech.
Yeah.
Social Network.
Let's go to number six because that's the argument here. The argument this guy makes for number six isn't even valid. So Adam, take us to number six there.
Number six is from 2002. The winner was Chicago. And he says what should have won was The Pianist.
So when I say it's not valid, The Pianist is 20 times the movie Chicago. However, can we just say Gangs of New York? Like, if any movie should have won that year, and like Gangs of New York.
Gangs of New York isn't that great.
What?
It's really good. It looks cool and has some good performance in it. It's not that great of a film.
I disagree with that. That's a great movie.
I'm not only disagreeing with you, I'm calling bullshit on you, Tyler. I feel like you're either trying to mock Aaron right now, or you've been on the podcast too long with her right now, because this is for you that the Gangs of New York, dude. Like seriously, that's a phenomenal movie.
It's really good. I would say it's one of Scorsese's worst movies.
What? And
it's not
worst movies.
It's not his top tier work.
Maybe Shutter Island, worst movie, which is still a good movie. But you know, sure, like
I'm not. He's never made any bad movies. I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I'm not saying it's a great movie. I'm saying it's not a great movie.
And yeah, you kind of sound like me.
Aaron. All right, Adam, Aaron, Gangs of New York, Chicago, The Pianist. Or even, what else do we have? The Hours and Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers. What are you guys taking?
The Pianist?
Probably. I think it's probably the better movie, but I would probably also have Gangs of New York over over Chicago as well, though. So, yeah. I mean,
I'd take Pianist over Chicago, but I'd take Gangs of New York over The Field.
I'd take anything over Chicago. Chicago was a shit.
It was terrible. Like, it really was shit. not
like, a good... who sucked whose cock to win that film?
Okay.
Who had to sleep with who for that?
All right, Adam. We should move on before she can do that.
Can you just edit that out? And can I say some other sexual profanity to because somebody did somebody some sexual?
Hold on. Okay. So Adam, where are we at? Number five, and this one's going to be another big field one. So this is a good one to talk about because it's a good list too.
Mm-hmm. Number five is from 2012, so just a couple years back. The winner was Argo, Ben Affleck's movie, and they're going to say that what should have won was Zero Dark Thirty.
I disagree with this.
I don't see that. I think Argo is.
I look at that field.
Zero Dark Thirty.
I look at that field, and it was. I could see why they're saying it because Zero. It was right around that time where the anti-establishment war movies like Zero Dark Thirty, where it was proving what these people are going through and how bad this stuff is. It was a big deal. However. Zero Dark Thirty is you're talking a year where Silver Linings Playbook, Lincoln, Life of Pi, Les Mis, Django Unchained, Beasts of Southern Wild, you have Argo. That's a fantastic list of movies. I love almost every movie on that list that I've seen. And at the same time, I'm I'm not angry with Argo winning Best Picture that year. I'm not angry about it. And I'm definitely not angry because of the jokes we get about Ben Affleck's saying Argo, fuck yourself. That makes it even better, you know? So it's hard to say Zero Dark Thirty is the snub there, or especially when you look at that slate. And that to me is one of those years where you have such a good slate. It's it could have gone any direction, you know?
Yeah. I mean, Zero Dark Thirty is a really good movie, but I don't even think I don't think it's better than a lot of them on that list. Zero Dark Thirty, I don't know. I don't understand how people liked it so much and not The Hurt Locker. The Hurt Locker is the far superior movie that Catherine Bigelow made. But the only one on that list I would say the only two on that list that probably couldn't have won that year would be Les Mis and Django. I think all of them, rest of them are legitimate.
Yeah. It could have, that's one of those years where it's you went in and you're anybody can walk away with it this year and not be angry about it either, you know? All right. Mm-hmm. All right, we're short on time, so we got to move through these rest of them because we're going to argue a lot on the first number one.
All right, number four is from 1990, Dances with Wolves won, and they say that Goodfellas should have won.
This is one of those ones where I think those are the two clear favorites when you look at the list because you have Godfather 3, Ghost, and Awakenings, and it's one of those ones where I could take it or leave it. I love both those movies, Dances with Wolves and Goodfellas. I would say Goodfellas is a superior movie when I really look back at them. But at the same time, I like Dances with Wolves is a movie that I think is worthy of getting a Best Picture win.
Yeah. And Dances with Wolves is another one of those achievement movies. The crazy long running time, a single character through most of it.
I mean, that defined Kevin Costner's career for the next 20 years because that's what he made when he directed a movie was basically another Dances with Wolves.
I don't know how The Godfather Part 3 even got nominated for an award. That's confusing to me.
Franchise.
Ghosts and Awakenings are both fantastic movies, but yeah, it's definitely Goodfellas or Dances with Wolves.
All right, let's talk about number three because this one is one that I think got a lot of controversy when it actually happened. Even
number three is from 2005. The winner for Best Picture was Crash, big ensemble cast and everything like that. And the movie they say should have won was Brokeback Mountain.
It's hard because Brokeback Mountain was the trendy pick that year. Everybody thought it was winning. But if you actually watch Brokeback Mountain, I'm sorry.
It's kind of a crappy movie.
It was boring. It was, if you were to, I know it was controversial at the time because, with two gay lead characters was not a huge thing at that time. But even if you put a male and female in that role, and it's just a boring movie. It is boring. And I think Tyler, as you pointed out, Crash is an underrated movie. That's another year where you look at the other nominees. I think this guy's wrong on the list. He's going with the trendy pick as Brokeback Mountain, but you've got three other amazing nominees there in that year with Munich, Capote, and Goodnight and Good Luck.
Yeah, I really, really like Goodnight and Good Luck. That's one of those movies that I go back to all the time. But I don't know. I don't know if it's a better movie than either. I'm not a huge Brokeback Mountain fan, so I don't think it's a better movie than that. But I don't know if it's. I don't think it's better than Crash either. I think what happened for Brokeback Mountain was the right time, and society was trending, obviously the direction that it was trending. And I think that was the pick that everybody wanted.
That's the problem. You have society trending that way. But when you, especially at that time period, I know the Oscars have gotten a little bit younger. The Academy has become a little bit younger, excuse me. But at that time, I mean, you're talking about a bunch of 78-year-old white men voting. Like, what are they? They're not going to pick Brokeback Mountain, even if it's a trendy pick in culture.
That's, yeah, you're not looking for the Oscars for, you know, progressivism. Like, this is not the
Oscars. Still, I mean, we're talking 2 years in a row where we're having a problem with diversity in the acting categories again. Like, yeah, this is, as you point out, this is not an organization that's known for being cool and hip and going with the flow of society. All right, so this one I like that we're getting to now. Number two,
From 1941, the winner was How Green Was My Valley. And what they say should have won is Citizen Kane.
So when you look at it from a historical standpoint, this is the most obvious, like the most obvious one on the list. Like Citizen Kane is at the top of how many, you know, websites, people, organizations list of like one of the greatest movies of all time. It is considered a, like when you really look at it, it is a slow movie. It is a slowly paced movie. When I look at that list, because this is back in the time when they had a large list of nominees as well. Maltese Falcon, that's my favorite movie from that year. You give me anything with Humphrey Bogart and I'm down. So Citizen Kane over how, I'm going to be 100% honest. I'm going to say it as a person who loves old movies, historical movies. I have not actually seen How Green Was My Valley. So it's hard for me to say against it. But when you look at it from a standpoint of what people consider Citizen Kane in terms of, you know, when you look at the scope of cinematic history today, like this is to me is like the most obvious one on the list.
Yeah. But this is another one of those ones where we have the benefit of 70, 80 years of history behind it. Like Citizen Kane was highly regarded when it came out, but so much of its, what's the word? It's gravitas. It's the greatest movie of all time came from things that it did that it was pioneering at the time that we take as commonplace now. And like we look back on it as changing movie making, but it's hard to, like, we're incapable of judging that movie in the context of 1940.
In time, yeah. That's a good point.
It's easy for us to go back, like, 5 years and be like, yeah, back in 2011, this one should have totally won.
That's a really solid point.
80 years ago, this movie should have totally won over that movie.
Good point. All right, so we're really short on time, so let's get to number one. And I warn you all right now for what's about to happen.
It's going to get a little crazy. Yeah, we apologize. Turn your speakers down. Number one is from 1998. And the winner was Shakespeare in Love. And they're going to say what should have won was Steven Spielberg Saving Private Ryan. And go crazy.
No arguments here. No arguments. And in fact, as much as Saving Private Ryan, you know, every argument Tyler's had for the last nine of like, This changed the way cinema was done. This was a defining movie. This was like Saving Private Ryan fits all those categories. Shakespeare in Love was a simple, basic love story, which most people would dub as quote unquote a chick flick. Like that is not a, if there is any movie on this list, even more so than Around the World in 80 Days, that shouldn't have won a Best Picture, it's Shakespeare in Love. In my opinion. And as much as if you want to talk about who should have even been competing with Saving Private Ryan, should have been Life is Beautiful or even Elizabeth, but Life is Beautiful is an absolutely wonderful, beautiful movie. And Shakespeare in Love is just, yeah. Go ahead, Tyler. Go ahead.
There's a little guy. There's an actor actually who appears in Shakespeare in Love who would like you to know that you should Argo fuck yourself.
Fantastic movie. Well played.
And I First of all, I'm not on board with you denigrating any movie with the term chick flick, but especially not Shakespeare in Love.
Like, no, look, I love chick flicks. You guys give me the past 2 to 3 years of our podcast, you've given me a hard time for loving Matthew McConaughey chick flicks. So I'm not saying it against it, but I'm saying
loving bad Matthew McConaughey movies.
Yeah. Bro, that's a bad movie, not because it's chick flick, it's awful, awful film.
Look, I love romantic comedies, or as I said, quote unquote. I put quote unquote, and if you can see the video, I put my fingers up, chick flick.
There's so much more going on in Shakespeare in Love than just simple romance story, like you put it. There's some really good satire going on around like the movie business and show business in general. You have Gwyneth Paltrow, Joseph Fiennes, Jeffrey Rush, Colin Firth, Ben Affleck, Judi Dench. Like, I could go on and on with the people in it. It's really, really, really good.
It's hard. It's hard to
references, the constant references throughout. That interweave little bits and pieces of Shakespeare's writings, like, you know, various inspirations for whether it's, you know, Twelfth Night, or it's Much Ado About Nothing, or it's obviously Romeo and Juliet. It's such a fucking good movie.
It's hard because when we look at this list, there's another one that made that list that was just the year right before it. That was the Titanic one. And we pointed out all five of those nominees. And we did say, you know, As Good as It Gets and The Full Monty wouldn't win against a Good Will Hunting, LA Confidential, or Titanic. And I'm sorry, I put Shakespeare in Love even below it, As Good as It Gets, or a Full Monty, or even if I'm not going to be biased, it's in that category with those two. So as we're arguing just the year before that these two movies probably don't even belong with these other three, I feel like Shakespeare in Love goes here. And at the same time, in the defense, this is another one of those years when you look at that whole list. Like I said, I pointed out, you know, like Elizabeth, if the thin Red Line doesn't come out the same year as Saving Private Ryan, we're talking about The Thin Red Line as being a snub, you know? But at the same, essentially, it's just a lesser version of Saving Private Ryan. But Life is Beautiful is just a phenomenal movie. And when you look at the scope and what Elizabeth did, like the costumes, the directing, the performances, like that's just a fantastic timepiece. And it's just hard. It's like so hard for me to say that Shakespeare in Love to me is just another movie when I look at the rest of that list and can't say any of those are just another movie.
It's not just another fucking movie, though. I just don't understand how you dislike it so much. It's so good.
Adam, Aaron, anything?
I'm gonna agree with both of you, actually, because I am okay with it not winning Best Picture, but I'm not okay with saying it's just another movie.
Okay.
It is a really good film, and it is really, really fun to watch and really, really well acted.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with exactly what Adam said. That's probably true.
All right. Well, thank you too for being the neutral to our black and white or our complete opposite.
I think you didn't like it because you don't like Gwyneth Paltrow.
When do I not like Gwyneth Paltrow?
I don't think you
in Shakespeare in Love.
I don't think that you've shown that you like her.
I don't think I've shown that I've disliked her just because I dislike Shakespeare in Love.
I think it's because you're an uncultured cur who doesn't appreciate the words of the great Bard of Avon.
Whatever.
There you go.
I just think again when you look at it, like, I'm hard to say. I like Saving Private Ryan was, man, like, there's just moments. Here's the best example for me to paint the picture. Okay, I won't even diss Shakespeare in Love on this. I will just say you watch Shakespeare in Love and you watch it, even if you think it's a great movie, you watch it through and it's a great movie. Watch Saving Private Ryan and tell me there's just not certain moments in that movie where you just like it just like blows your mind. Like when they storm the beach and just the silence for moments and all that stuff. Like there are just moments in that movie that just are like just mind-boggling, amazing. And then, like I said, when I think of a movie that year, when I think of a movie that's more like a Shakespeare in Love, where it's more of a not as seriously depressing as the two war movies, The Thin Red Line and Saving Private Ryan, I look at Life is Beautiful. That, like, I mean, there's no other word to define that movie other than beautiful. Like, it is a phenomenal, just beautiful movie, and it's hard.
Also depressing as fuck.
Well, yeah, it is.
Don't try to like put it off as like the glowing versus the.
Okay, it's not 18-year-olds being shot on a beach. It's a little bit more. Let's grab your heart.
Six million people being
yeah, I know
committed to genocide. It's pretty bad.
No, it's a rough time period. I'm not saying it's that, but it's still just a gorgeous movie.
I think the problem is in your head, you hear the rest of us attacking Save It Private Ryan is not a great movie.
I'm not. You guys in your head are hearing me attack Shakespeare in Love is not a great movie.
No, you
and
definitely
it's accurate. It's, no, I'm saying it's accurate.
Because you said
I'm it's definitely not a... saying that. It's just it's one of those years like, okay, let's go to 2000. Yeah, let's go to 2000. Let's just go a couple years ahead. And
I think
Shakespeare in Love beats out Gladiator and then the rest of that list. Beats out Chocolat, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Aaron Brockovich and Traffic. I'm not going to make the argument I'm making right now. I'm not going to despise
the argument you're making is like you feel you sound like you're trying to convince us that Saving Private Ryan is a really great movie. We know that it's a great movie. It's an amazing movie. It's one of the greatest movies ever made.
It's
that doesn't mean Shakespeare in Love's not a good movie too.
No, but Saving Private Ryan is better than Shakespeare in Love. Okay. Wow. Okay. So great list. It's on Business Insider. I know Tyler doesn't think it is a clickbait site. We know, but it is a fun list.
It's a fun list, right? And it brings up a fun discussion. That's
and it makes me want to go down the rest of this list and look at what other ones, because as I was scrolling through here to find other nominees, there was a plenty of other years. And Tyler pointed out some other years where you can make that argument there.
Well, there's even years when we were going through the list that I'll just throw out. One that jumped out to me is the 2000, the 2011 Academy Awards, the artist one.
Yeah, but that's another hard one where it's like anybody could have taken that.
The movie I think should have won, and there's a lot of good movies on the list, is one that wasn't even nominated.
I already know where you're going to go because I agree. This should have definitely been nominated.
Ides of March should have won that.
Oh, it was a phenomenal movie. George Clooney, Ryan Gosling, phenomenal in it. Well directed, perfect. And the fact that they only went with 9 nominees and left that off the list when they could add 10 was mind blowing. Were we podcasting at the time?
Was that the year the Descendants?
Descendants was there as well.
Yeah. I remember.
Extremely loud and incredibly close, which I didn't even.
And you had The Help, Hugo, Midnight in Paris.
Oh, and that stupid Pixar Moneyball movie that was so bad.
No, Pixar was nominated that year.
Oh, wasn't?
You had War Horse, The Tree of Life, Moneyball, Midnight in Paris, Hugo, The Help, Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close, The Descendants, The Artist. But that's one of those years where we talked about in a couple of the other categories where it's like, I felt like this could have really gone anyway.
Could have gone to any of those
movies. And I wouldn't have really argued with it.
It could have gone to any of those movies except for Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close.
It was the same year as the year after, 2012, with Argo winning.
And Ides of March should have been on that list.
Oh, I agree. I agree with that. I will stand behind you completely.
I'm okay with that. Yeah.
I thought Ides of March was kind of boring.
Yeah, whatever.
Shut your mouth.
All right, we are way over time. We're way over time. And as we get closer and closer to the Oscars, we will probably continue to run way over time. But that's okay. So you have just a few seconds, each of you. I can't even believe I'm going to let you still do this. But we need to do closing thoughts. Erin, I'm not even gonna bother. She's not gonna have a closing thought. So
I do too.
Oh, really? Okay, Erin, start us out, but you gotta be quick.
My favorite, don't you do that to me. Don't you tell me to be quick and tell me to go first. I'll go last. The end.
You still have to be quick if you're last. Okay, Tyler, quick closing thought.
Morningstar, Pierce Brown. Pierce Brown, Morningstar. Book comes out on the 9th. Pick it up, read it.
Tyler says read. Adam, what you got?
I agree with Tyler saying read. I actually watched The Godfather Epic this weekend. It took me 3 days because it's 7 hours worth of movie. It's a long, long film. Really, really good. Love the extra scenes. I am currently reading The Godfather by Mario Puzo. Enjoying it greatly.
All right, Erin. You got to unmute yourself.
And she's muted. Hers was really short.
Come see me at Project Cosplay. I'm super excited to go to be at Project Cosplay in Denver. Woo! The end.
Mention that it might be February 19th through 21st.
You can fill in them all the details.
Okay, I did. February 19th through 21st, $35. Cosplayers, photographers, just having a good time. Unlimited photo shoots, panels, workshops, fun. Should be a great time.
Were you going to say cotton candy?
We can bring cotton candy there if you want it. I mean,
all right, you may need to
buy it yourself. Calm down. Cotton candy.
The blue kind.
Will you calm down? All right.
We're trying to wrap this up.
Yeah, we are trying to, but Erin won't shut up about cotton candy. Anyways, Project Nerd, great January, great new year. I just want to point out a few new content things. We pointed out, the Black History Month content. We'll have Women's History. Also be talking about 75th anniversary for Wonder Woman. 50th anniversary for the original Star Trek television show as well this year. So a lot of themed content we're going to do throughout the year. Of course, the tour, mentioning Project Cosplay and everything, but January we also brought our new TV recap. So go check it out as we recap The Flash, Arrow, Agent Carter, every episode right now. And then we'll even have some mini kind of a few recaps once Daredevil drops in March. So a lot of new and exciting content coming, and then some big changes coming to the actual layout of the site in April. We want to make it easier and better for you. So if you do have feedback for us, you can always send it over to info@projectnerd.com or even just go to the website and find the form. We need to make navigation easier, so good luck finding the form. That's why I gave you the email address. But anyways, fun stuff going on at Project Nerd. We had a great 2015. Really looking forward to what this year brings as the site continues to grow, especially the publishing. I can't tell you enough how excited I am that we are bringing you our own comic books, not just covering other people's. So with that, over, great topics. Give us your feedback on all of them. Deadpool stuff, most anticipated movie of the year, biggest snubs for best picture throughout time, what shouldn't have won, what should won. If you're going to be a Project Cosplay, if you're picking up Project Nerd Publishing comics, and of course, everything else in between. We did a great job staying on topic this week, guys. Because we had good heated debates, that's why.
You're welcome. I helped everybody stay on topic.
Oh, was it you? Because you talked all for like, I think, 45 seconds in this episode.
Shut your face.
Okay. I will shut my face as I wrap this up, but I will not shut my face when we come back next week. So same nerd time, same nerd channel. We'll catch you for episode 111 next time.
Triple 11, kids. What up?